maybe you've heard people say statements before like, that's a good man or that's a bad man. Have you ever heard anybody make that statement before? That's a good man there. I like that man. He's a good man. Or watch that man. He's a bad man. Well, what determines that? How do we determine the difference between a good man and a bad man? So what is our criteria for this designation? Is it how they treat people? Maybe. Maybe it's how they talk. Maybe it's their ability to work or not work. Maybe it's how they provide for their family, or maybe how they don't provide for their family. Or perhaps it might be the fact that they're selfish or unselfish. There's some criteria that we have come up with on our own that allows us to assess a man and say, that is a good man or that is a bad man. So what makes a good man good and what makes a bad man bad? Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And it gives us four portraits of what a faithful man is like. Starting with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, and here's the first one, who are able to teach others also. So the first description of a faithful man is a teacher. A faithful man must be a teacher. We'll come back to that one in a moment. And then he goes on in verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So now we have the teacher, the man as a teacher. Now we have the man as a soldier. Then he goes on in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned until he competes according to the rules. So we have the teacher, and then we have the soldier. Now we have the athlete who is running the race. And then finally, he gives us one more portrait of a man. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So here we are. We have four descriptions of what the Bible calls a faithful man. Find these faithful men, and you will have the men you're looking for, he's saying. So in this description of the faithful men, he gives us four different descriptions. The teacher, the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. The teacher tells us that a faithful man must teach. The soldier tells us that a faithful man must protect. The athlete tells us that a faithful man must finish. And the farmer tells us that a faithful man must provide. So let me go through that list one more time. This is a very important list. The teacher tells us that a faithful man must teach. The soldier tells us that a faithful man must protect. The athlete tells us that a faithful man must finish what he started. And then finally, the farmer tells us that a faithful man must provide. So let's break these down and talk about each of these individually. Let's start with the first one, the teacher. Now we've already read the verse that tells us about the teacher, find the faithful man who is able to teach others. You know, every boy has to grow through the rites of passage before becoming a man. I don't know what that looked like in your family. Many times those are unspoken. But there's some point in time in your life when people stop seeing you as a boy and they start seeing you as a man. And maybe you have this mental checklist in your head that says, now I am a man. And this is what a man does. I'm no longer a boy. Well, you know, some cultures have some quite interesting rituals that they would call rites of passage. Let me tell you about just a few of those because I think they're quite interesting. And, you know, the thing about a rite of passage is this one thing. It tells you that the generation before you has taught you something that allows you to go from being a boy to being a man. And that has to come from the generation before you. You will never learn manhood from your peers. You only learn manhood from people older than you. And at some point in time, those who are older than you show you what men look like, talk like, act like, sound like. And if you grew up in a household where you didn't get a chance to have a dad, or if you grew up in a household where you didn't have a chance to get a good dad or a faithful dad, then that's okay, because the Lord is going to put plenty of people in your life to show you how to make the right choices. I think it's ideal if you get a great dad, and I'm envious of every time I hear the conversation of guys talking about their dad being their best friend. I'm always envious of that. I think that sounds so amazing that people have that bond and have kept that bond through the years. But you have to understand that there are people in this room that did not get that experience. They grew up without a dad, or they grew up with a dad who was not kind to them, or a dad who was very self-centered, or a dad who was an alcoholic and was unavailable to them emotionally, or they grew up in a different kinds of circumstances where they were not taught how to be a good man from a good man. Well, I don't want you to get discouraged, because the Bible is filled with so much information, and the Bible tells us that you have more than one father. As a matter of fact, I'll read that scripture in a moment where it says that you have 10,000 teachers and several fathers. So that's the good thing about being in the family of God. There is going to be some, you know what, if you want to learn how to be a good man, I've got real good news for you. Go to church and look around. Don't go to the bar looking for the good men. I'm not saying that every man in that bar is a bad man. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if you want to go to a place, don't go to the back alley where somebody's shooting up drugs looking for a mentor. Go to some place where people are trying to live by godly principles. Go to some place where somebody is trying to have a good family and following the ways of the Lord. If you're trying to find a mentor or someone, go to a place where there's a more likely. Can I also tell every woman looking for a mate or a date, don't go to certain places looking for a mate or a date. Go to the house of God to find a mate or a date, because there you're most likely going to be able to find someone that is walking in the ways of the Lord, which I think are important. All right. So in some cultures, they have rites of passage. One African tribe sends its young boys into the wilderness alone, and they have to kill a lion. This is their ritual. They are not a man until they're prepared by the elders of their tribe to go spend the night alone. They have to track the lion, and they have to kill the lion, and they can't run. So if the boy runs back, he's not a man yet. He has to go back again. I think I'd rather get it over with the first time. Even if he comes back scarred and scratched, he is still a man if he comes back with a dead lion. And so that is some tribes, aren't you? Anybody wish you were born in that tribe? No, everybody's saying, okay, I'd rather have to change the oil in my car and the tire, flat tire, to be considered a man in my family. In Vanuatu, That is a place where men are, it's the Pacific Island of Vanuatu. Men have to dive from a rickety 98-foot tall tower that's been made out of sticks. And they're not bungee jumping, and this happens all the time. It's actually a tourist attraction. I'm glad I'm not on display there. But young boys have to fall from this 98-foot tall tower with vines wrapped around their feet, and they have to dangle. They have to get close enough to the ground for their hands to touch the ground, and these are not bungee cords, so they're not bouncing, they are vines. So they have to tie themselves to the vines. People get broken bones and die from this experience, but if you touch the ground and live, you can get married. So they're all highly motivated to do that. The only way they can get married is to fall from this 98-foot tower with vines wrapped around them. How many of you are glad tonight? You want to thank the Lord right now you were not born in the Pacific Island of Vanuatu. Yeah, or that might be you might be practicing doing that tomorrow morning just so you can marry the girl you like. In Harmar, Ethiopia, they have the custom of cow jumping. Cow jumping means that you cannot marry a girl from the tribe unless they line up a group of cows and you can jump those cows four times back and forth. Not four cows. You got to go the line and back four times, then you can get married. If you slip and fall, you have to wait. But if you are able to jump the cows four times, you are moving from boyhood to manhood, regardless of your age. You can now get married. And that is their rite of passage. Now, I put one more in here, but I can see that Jonathan is very smart because he refused to put a picture of it. But it was, I just thought, well, the girls might want to know if there's any female rites of passages. And I noticed when he created this that he did not want to put this one in there. And I salute you, Jonathan, because now that I think about it in hindsight, I'm glad you didn't. So this is the female African Okaraika tribe. The girls, before they get married, have to go to fattening rooms. And you cannot come out until you weigh a certain amount, because no boy wants to marry a woman who's not nice and plump. And that is their... Now, some women in this room are cringing, and some are saying, thank God somebody has finally recognized what a woman looks like. You know, they're thanking God for that. All right, so that's an actual rite of passage. And the girls aren't allowed to come out and get married until, well, they measure up. There you go. And the Sateri Mawe tribe in the Amazons, they have what they call the ant mitten, and they put these bullet ants inside these gloves, and in order to pass from boyhood to manhood, now these ants, one ant stings, and the pain is 20 times more powerful than a wasp. That's one ant. They'll put about 100 ants in each glove. You have to stick your hands in the gloves and get this. This part would be easy. Dance for 10 minutes. I don't think that would be a problem. I think the pain might be a problem, but dancing with these things biting you, I don't think that would be a problem at all. If you can dance for 10 minutes, not 8, not 9, if you can dance for 10 minutes with these ants biting your hands, you have passed from boyhood to manhood, and you are now considered a man of this tribe.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
What allows me to move from being a boy to a man? So I want to ask all the men in this room tonight, who taught you how to be a man? Who are your role models? Who are your mentors? Who are your mentors? Who are your role models now? A father, a grandfather, a coach, an uncle? Can I tell every dad something? That if you do not speak into your children, the coach will. And if that's the message you want them to hear, that's the message they will hear. Fathers have a responsibility to speak into your children. Fathers, you're teaching your sons how to treat a woman, and you're teaching your girls what kind of man to choose by the way you treat them. Yes, I dated my daughters because I wanted them to know what a date was like. I picked them up at the door. I took them out. I let them out at the door, walked them to the door at night, kissed them on the cheek, went and parked my car in the garage and went in there and said, how was your date tonight? It's kind of a crazy thing, but I wanted them to know, and I did that intentionally and on purpose because I wanted them to know there is a difference in the way some men are going to treat you and the way a good man should be treating you. There is a difference. So we have to ask yourself, where are we getting our information from? Because somebody has to teach you how to be a man, and the same for the ladies. So let's look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. Now I may say this again next week, but the goal of parenting is imitation. That's the goal. Do as I do, not do as I say do. And here's the thing, parents. Most of the time, they do not do what you say do, but they always do what you do. The goal of parenting is to say, I am the example. Paul is writing to young Timothy, which is his spiritual son, and he says in the very beginning of this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he writes to his son, he says, imitate me. And now he's saying the same thing again in the book of 1 Corinthians. Imitate me. I am living for Christ as your spiritual father. Do the things I do. Pray the way you hear me pray. Worship the way you see me worship. Go to the altar the way you see me go to the altar. Be faithful to the house of the Lord the way you see me faithful to the house of the Lord. Be faithful in tithing and giving the way you see me faithful in tithing and giving. What he's saying is you need to watch what I'm doing. I am teaching you how to be a godly man. Do as I do, imitate me. So the teacher is the one who teaches the son. That's the very first one. So what should the teacher be teaching? Now these hit me, some of these hit me between the eyes. So if they hit you, you're in good company tonight. Because I didn't even want to say some of this. Because after I read it, I thought, oh, really, I need to say that one. And the first one is it. So here we go. The first thing every father needs to teach their son is how to listen. Okay, guys, let's be honest. Maybe not you. But most of us have a problem with this one. It isn't that we're not interested, it's just that we have a hard time not thinking about what we're going to say. We get in this fix-it mode, this protection mode, this in-charge mode, and sometimes we don't hear the whole matter before we weigh in on it. And the first thing he says is this, James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, to let every man be, so he's talking to men, let every man be swift to hear. Everybody say swift to hear, slow to speak, say slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Boy, that was pitiful. I could tell you did not want to say that. Let's say it one more time. Let's say, be swift to hear, slow to speak, that's much better, and slow to wrath. All right, so you know what he's saying to men? He said, men, first of all, don't lose your temper all the time and learn to listen better. If you're always losing your temper, you're not a safe person and no one's gonna come to you. They're going to avoid you, and unfortunately, they might even lie to you because they are trying to keep you cool instead of you being the safe person that they can come to. So the first thing he says to a faithful man is you have to be able to teach. And one of the things he says we should teach is we should teach our sons and our daughters how to be swift to hear and slow to wrath. How I should teach you that it's better. You know, I love leadership books. And a leadership book I read many, many years ago was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, that's an old book that's been around a long time by Stephen Covey. And I remember, I can still quote all those 7 habits to this day, but one of those, actually it was the 5th habit, is understand before being understood. Boy, when I read that, I thought, I want to live my life that way. And I can't tell you I'm 100%, but I know this, the person who listens has the advantage over the person who's not listening. The person who listens and being I want to understand before I want you to know what I know, before I interrupt you and butt in and start changing the conversation to my advantage, I want to know what it is that you're trying to tell me. So understand before being understood. So the first thing the father teaches, the first thing the faithful man teaches is how to listen and how not to overreact. So every man say amen. We are supposed to be teaching our sons and daughters how it's better in life if you're the safe person than the unsafe person. If you are the overreactor in your family, you are the unsafe person in your family. You are not the one that people are going to want to talk to. You're not the safe person that people are going to open up to. So if we want our kids to come to us, if we want our kids to listen to us, we have to be swift to hear and slow to wrath.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.